Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished coach and an author from Bulgaria, Mr. Dimi Chokolov. Dimi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man.
Dimi is a certified professional coach and an international best-selling author. He's focused on coaching, on leadership and performance. So, Dimi, let's talk coaching first. What made you become a coach?
Thank you for the question. First of all, thank you for inviting me. In this show, I'm really delighted for that. And the first thing which I'm going to talk about coaching is I decided to become a coach, not accidentally, but it was very interesting, the story, because I think the first reason was because coaching was the thing which helped me to get out of part of my life when I felt really miserable. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel good about myself and my goals and everything. I didn't have any goals, actually. Mm-hmm. And I started reading books at that point, personal growth books and stuff, mm-hmm. and really changed my life, changed the way I see the world, myself, other people, and really started, you know, getting me to create goals, to create vision for myself and stuff. I didn't have that before. Mm-hmm. And along with that, when I, you know, get out of that, I realized, because I started doing it automatically, I started talking to people in this way, started motivating people by what I was reading. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I have a talent to really put people in ease, motivate them, energize them. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, I just started thinking of, okay, can I do something with that, you know? Mm-hmm. And people started putting, you know, giving me feedback around that, yo, can you do something with that? And then I realized that there is this coaching education, which I can really go and study. And I did it. And I realized that I can make good money out of that, which completed the circle. I don't know if you heard about the Ikigai idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's exactly, you know, something you're good at, something you really love doing, something which is good for the world. And also it's money wise is good for you. So that completed the circle for me. And I decided to go full time with that.
How wonderful. So, you know, one of the things that is often asked about coaching, you know, I'm much older than you, but I remember 4 decades ago when I started my working life, coaching was either done by someone who's a family elder or by someone senior in the company who took a liking for you.
Yeah.
What has changed in coaching that now people are willing to pay for it?
I think what's changed is it was, first of all, that people realized that coaching is something really valuable. And it's not about, I think here is the place to share around the idea, the difference between mentoring and coaching, because I think what you're referring to, not exclusively, but very often is mentoring. Mm-hmm. Because when someone is elderly, someone is, you know, older than you and been through life, they can share with you a lot of insights around that, helping you to go through life, you know, with more wisdom and information. But coaching is not that. And the difference there is, in coaching, the person who is authority is not the coach, mm-hmm. but the coachee. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people don't understand there. So what I mean by that is coaching, the main idea of coaching is to really help people get ownership that they have their answers in themselves. Mm-hmm. They know what they want, mm-hmm. but they just need someone there with different questions, tools, and different insights to help them to unleash these answers. Mm-hmm. You know,
wonderful.
So this is the difference. Yeah. And that's, people realize that. That's why it now became more and more popular in the world, I think.
Amazing. So you also speak about your 6-month life and career accelerated program. Tell me a little bit about your program and how does it work? And give me examples wherever possible.
Yeah, of course. So this is a program which it's my favorite one. It's my it's a program which I you know, created after a lot of years of work with different fields and people. Mm-hmm. And the program is called Accelerator because it helps people to accelerate. I often say 10x the speed mm-hmm. of creating what they want to create in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important part there is I when people ask me, what do you do there? How do you help people with that? I always say this, you know, quote, which I came up with, this was, I help people to get out of their box to mm-hmm. start living their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, what we do there is we do this process of deboxification. Mm-hmm. If you, it's mm-hmm. a term which doesn't exist. I came up with it. Mm-hmm. But it's the idea of what I refer to box is all the limiting beliefs, fears, and all the models we have created in life in order to, you know, survive, but it doesn't help us to thrive in life.
Mm.
And this is the box which all of us have. Mm. And what I'm helping people with is to identify this box together, to really learn why this box is there in the first place. How is that box helping us and helped us in life? And how we, and after we do that, we learn how to, together with the coachee, how to release, let go of a lot of these models so that we can see the world in a different way and they can start creating more and more in what they want to create in life. Doesn't matter if this is career, in personal life, on whatever it is there. So you said that examples, I can share some examples. And for example, there were people, and that's very important also to understand in coaching, they're coming with an idea of, okay, I want to develop in my career. That's my intention. But then after we create this process of deboxification, which I'm talking about, they realize that their real intention is, for example, one of them was exactly that, want to develop in their in his career, but he decided to buy a boat and start traveling the world with it. And that was the this process of deboxification helping him to realize fully what he wants. And now, until this was 6 years ago, and he still is doing that, he creates a blog about how to travel the world with the boat and stuff, and he's happy with what he's doing. And that's an example how this can help a person to really start living their truth in what they want to do. I have numerous examples about around, for example, people who decided to go around Europe on hitchhiking, and that helped them to find out. There is another example, a person who did that working with me, and then he became one of the best stand-up comedians in Denmark right nowadays. So this is just some examples of that. Some people just go for career, but then decide they want to leave the job and start their own business. Right?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So another question that is often asked to me is that, how long should a coaching relationship be for?
I personally, I believe that my programs are minimum like 6 months. They go, I've been working with people for 2-3 years at a time. And it personally depends of the person. Honestly, I think this is a lifelong process for a person. And that doesn't have to be with one coach. You can change coaches and you can go from one to the other. It depends of what are your intentions and, you know, goals right now. But I think the minimum is 6 months, because in order to create a habit, in order to change habits, in order to start living different, you know, in different ways, see the world in different way, you need time. Some people say, okay, but why, let's have one session or something. It's not working like this, because this is not about just the insights you're going to get, but it's about how to apply these insights in life, how to really start living in different way, and having accountability, having the person, the coach next to you, is helping you to really keep the process of continue changing and continue creating what you want to create. So that's the short answer. 6 months, and then you go to the
as long as possible.
I mean, as long as possible.
I agree. And yet there is for a coachee, how does the coachee evaluate whether she or he has a good coach?
that's a very good question. And the short answer is it depends again. And it also is very, it's subjective. It's it's about, you know, how the two people really connect with each other. There can be a coach which is, the coach is great and a lot of experience, but doesn't match the client. And there are coaches which are maybe don't great experience, but they can match the client. But there are several points I just want to point out here. General points which I believe make a coach really good. The first one is the degree of presence the coach has. So one of the most important things is that the active listening. So how do you listen? Very important for the coach to listen between the lines, to really listen fully to the person, not thinking in head what you want to say. There is this think of ethics and confidentiality. Very important for the coach because people share very, very personal stuff with you and you need to have this ethics in you in order to keep going ahead. And there is this place of you need to create the space of trust. That's also something very important for a coach. And also, I'm saying that because some people don't know them as ticks, but they feel them. You know, they feel okay. I feel trust that this person established trust with me. I feel this person listens. It creates space for me. All of these things, they are there, but you don't know. So that's why I'm saying them now. So people really can go. And there is one thing which is not part of, you know, some rules, but definitely is important, that the coach believes, deeply believes that the person in front of him has answers. He has the answers inside. If you don't believe that, and you believe that you know more than the person for their life, this is not coaching.
Right.
Yeah. It's a crucial importance that people...
Excellent answer. People thank you. That. Excellent answer. So the other question, Dimi, is that, you know, you must be coaching people who are senior leaders. There are also people who are emerging leaders. What is the difference between coaching senior leaders and emerging leaders? And if you have coached such people, give me an example without names, of course.
Yes, I've been working with both, of course. I would say the answer here is what is my experience? I'm not going to go too much in depth for the sake of the time, but the senior leaders, people who are working very, you know, long time and they're in their field, they are working. The biggest thing which I realized for them is about work-life balance. This is the place we work a lot with them because they are already established. They do stuff. They are great in what they do, but they struggle with finding this balance between these two, their family life and their friends and stuff, which is crucially important for the well-being of the person, as we know. When it comes to emerging leaders, what we work very often is about their confidence as leaders, to find out this confidence inside to help them to really grow as leaders and to really learn how to lead in the right way nowadays, because leadership also changed throughout the years and it's changing all the time because, you know, right nowadays the things are changing very fast in whatever we do.
Correct.
So that's the short answer around that.
No, good. Yeah. Great response. And another question related to the one I just asked you is, you know, millennials and Gen Zs are now getting into leadership roles in most companies. Yeah. And, you know, I think most companies by another 3 or 4 years will have most of the leadership from the millennials category. What are the areas you think millennials and Gen Zs need to be coached in?
Excellent question. And there is definitely a difference between millennials, Gen Zs, and the other people before that. I think there are several areas, and the two of them are definitely patience and temperance. And I'm going to explain why is that. Because nowadays, everything, we grew up in an era when everything happens very fast.
Correct.
And it creates an illusion that the things are going to happen fast everywhere. And when you become a leader and create projects and do stuff, if you don't have enough patience and intemperance, not getting everything in one place at once, you got really frustrated and you start making a lot of mistakes. And I don't know if you heard, but there is this study that the lifespan of people became like 7-8 seconds. Like not lifespan, sorry, the our focus, attention span, of people, which is a big sign of what actually people need to work on. And that's something which we focus a lot. And there is a piece of discipline which we need to be working also with this with millennials and Gen Zs, I think.
Interesting. Yeah. So, Dimi, now let's move to your book. Tell me a little bit about your book. the name of the book and whether it's available on Amazon. And then we'll talk about what made you write the book.
Yeah, perfect. So the book is called Visionary Male Leaders. And it's actually, we are 15 male leaders who are writing the book together.
Okay.
This book is available in Amazon. I'm pretty sure that's available in India as well. Mm-hmm. You can buy there. And the book is about, the main idea of the book is about creating the balance and between masculine and feminine traits to become the best leader you can be.
I see.
So this is the main feature of the book. Mm-hmm. To remove the toxic masculinity out of the leadership positions and to really integrate the feminine sides so that it can become a holistic and more effective leader.
Fantastic. So tell me a little more about what are the masculine and feminine attributes each of the male leaders has or should have?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's talk with the masculine parts. That's, you know, the purpose. That's the focus. That the discipline, that are traits which every leader should possess, and they're more masculine. You know, you're doing it, you're going, you're disciplined, you're taking steps, you're taking action. You know, this makes the project work. But if you don't have the feminine sides, which is compassion, which is a little bit more of empathy, which is a little bit more of really being interested genuinely in people, talking, listening, and there are many more, of course, then there is this becomes kind of discrepancy, and there is no the soft side of really creating the connections with your team, for example, so that the purpose and goals you have put to start really going towards, you know, otherwise it becomes like robot-like idea. Okay, let's make that. Everyone is making it. There is no complaints and stuff. Just do it. But it doesn't work in this way. You need to put a little bit the oil, like we said, you know, which is the feminine, the soft side, when which actually creates the will, you know, the will to start going towards the purpose you have put.
Very, very interesting. So let me now move to a few questions for you personally. You know, my viewers and listeners love to get to know my guest a little better. What would you say are three lessons you would like our viewers and listeners to take away from our conversation?
So the first lesson definitely is that, and it's part of the coaching idea, that you have the answers inside. Don't forget that you have all the answers. You know what you want when to go. Yes, maybe they're not like apparent right now, but they're going to come if you believe deeply that you have them.
Sure.
The second one is the lesson with patience. And I can put it together, patience and consistency. So it's, if you stay long enough in a certain, you know, direction in the trail there, you're going to reach it, but you need time. You need to stay, you know, in the place. So learning how to be patient and consistently moving towards something is super important. Maybe it won't happen for a week, a month, a year, but it will happen eventually if you really want it. And the third one is learning the power of love. My chapter in the book we already mentioned is called The Transformation of Power at Love, you know. It's actually, it's a really transformational when you learn how to apply, how to learn loving yourself, other people in the world in the right way, because love is a very creative force and power. Use it, how to create it in life. That creates a lot of great waves for us and for people around us.
Very interesting. My next question to you, Dimi, is what are some of the core values you believe in?
Yeah, when I talk about values, I always get very excited about, because for me values are they're your North Star in life, and a lot of decisions you make, the way you act in life, is connected with these values. So for me, the first is love. I mean, obviously, the second one is family. Family is a great value for me. Self mastery, part of also what I do. integrity, and loyalty. I think that's the first five, you could say.
Great set of values. I have time for two or three more questions. My next question is, after such an amazing career and as a coach, what does success mean to Demi?
That's a great question. It's again part of coaching. So for me, coaching success is, if not reaching, going pretty close to your creative potential. Mm-hmm. So that's for me is a great success if a person, because from person to person, this differs. But if you can go pretty close or getting your creative potential in place, that's a big success for me.
Fabulous. And a follow-up to success is who or what inspires you?
Always great causes. People who are really fighting for great causes. So when you talk about India, we can talk Gandhi. Gandhi is a great inspiration for me. Martin Luther King. People like who are really devoted to a cause and they're putting their heart and their time and their, and their sweat, you could say, into this cause. That creates so much inspiration for me. And it doesn't have to be like big like them. It can be just an employee who is working for a company and devoted to this company. That also is inspiration for me.
Fascinating. And my last question to you, and this is for the many young people who will listen to our conversation. What would your advice be to a young individual starting off on her or his journey as a manager in life?
I would say that for the young managers and people, they just go and it's very simple. Just stay in the process and pay attention. Mm-hmm. Because in the process, when you pay attention, you're going to learn and you're going to grow.
Yeah. Wonderful. So on that note of stay in the process and pay attention, Demi, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about coaching, your own personal experiences on coaching, the amazing work that you are doing on in the area of coaching. Thank you for talking to me about your book. And I urge all our viewers and listeners to have a look at that book. Check it out on Amazon. I will go and check it out myself. And thank you for your amazing conversation. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.